some of the decisions that we've made in the past that cause us to feel this level of guilt or shame could be very much birthed in trauma, sometimes even childhood trauma or some sort of experience. I encourage people to take things like counseling and therapy seriously. You'd be surprised how many decisions that we make today that are based on experiences that we have, you know.
Hello and welcome to the Woke Finance Podcast, the podcast discussing all things finance and all things finance related. It's your boy Peter and I'm with my co-host, my bro Jax. How are you today?
Yes, Peter. I'm doing very well. After this podcast, I am off to an evening dinner with one of my friends locally, and I'll be trying a lot of Nigerian food. I heard suya is absolutely amazing. I have had it before, and I'm looking forward to it, man.
Listen. Hopefully you can hack the spiciness. I know you Ghanaians are a bit soft in that area, so hopefully you can hack the spiciness of the
Well, I don't know who told you that Ghanaians don't have no spice. We literally eat pepper. But I'm looking forward
it's
to it.
literally in your meals.
Exactly. Yeah, but I'm very
Good
much
stuff.
looking forward to it.
Good stuff, man. Massive shout out to our listeners as well, man. Wherever you are in the world, keep doing what you are doing. Supporting us, showing love as well in your own ways, whether it's reposting, whether it's liking comments on our socials as well. A reminder, you can check us out on all podcast platforms, and we have recently just uploaded all of our audio podcasts on YouTube. So just type in Woke Finance on YouTube. It's fairly new, so views are low, so do watch them and get the views up and like, subscribe, all of that stuff as well. But a massive shout out to our listeners wherever you are in the world. Today we've got one of those episodes where you can just chill, relax, sit back and try and jump into the conversation, man. It is going to be one of those topics where people don't maybe talk about enough, really. And we're going to start this up. And hopefully it's going to be something you can take away and share with others. It's a nice conversation starter. But Jax, obviously we want to talk a bit about dealing with financial shame. When I actually say that, Jax, and I could share why I think, but I wanted to go to you first. What actually comes to mind when the term financial shame comes up?
Firstly, I want to agree with you in a sense that this conversation is one that we should be having more and more. It can be a sensitive topic, so I think, having a conversation the right way is very healthy. And you never know who you're actually really helping. And to answer your question, Peter, I think I actually came across this terminology when I went to an event, and one of the questions asked was, why do people not want to talk about money? And there was a lovely lady who mentioned financial shame. And at first, I was thinking, what is financial shame? It seems like a very strong phrase, but I think a lot of the time people experience financial shame in different ways, And for that person, I think she mentioned something like, there's this expectation that if you're of a certain age, then you should have certain financial accomplishments, right? So, you should have your car, you should have your own place, you should be a homeowner, for example, you should have some savings, etc. And when you don't meet up to those expectations set by society, and sometimes even family and peers, then you have a level of shame. And I think that's pretty sad. And I think, I do feel like a lot of people probably struggle with this, especially in a day like, in our generation where social media makes it so hard to not compare yourself to others as well.
And you mentioned, not meeting expectations of others, peers, families. Sometimes it's the expectations we set on ourselves as well. And we don't even know where it's come from, but we've told ourselves by, we use age as an example. By this age, I'm gonna have this, I'm gonna have that. And yeah, you're so right. For that individual that brought it up in that event, even just to say that. Financial shame can be quite a tough thing because, again, the minute you mention that in a group setting, even you might think all the spotlight is on you and stuff.
I mean that word spotlight, I really commend the lady. I think I respect her highly for bringing that up. I think she said something that a lot of people go through. And I just really respect her, how courageous and bold she was to actually bring it up. And so And things like that really open the floor for further discussion and further, conversation, which is why we've decided to take it on board on the World Finance Podcast.
Yeah, and yeah, we're gonna discuss literally, how one can go about dealing with financial shame, as well. And Jax, again, in that event, for example, me and you know very much that financial, mistakes or feeling guilty about something or feeling like, you've not met certain expectations. This is a common thing. It happens across all parts of society. And it's not just people who have come from low-income backgrounds. You'd be surprised, people who have been built into wealth, the kind of expectations that they have and the financial shame that they feel amongst their peers is
Oh,
quite
absolutely.
rife as well.
Oh, Peter, absolutely. I mean, I personally know someone specifically, I won't go into too much detail, who earns definitely more than 95% of the world, who still experiences a lot of shaming and that kind of stuff because that person comes from a very wealthy family and has a very wealthy group of friends. So it comes back down to that comparison, right? Comparing yourself to people that you are around and really feeling shameful because you don't match up to, as you said, it could be expectations set by yourself, but it could be expectations set by the environment that you happen to belong to.
Now, first of all, how does because it is very true, it's financial shame is a real thing, but sometimes, and you can challenge me on this, sometimes we might not even realize that that's what we're experiencing. And one of the things that we always we've spoken about is you sometimes can tell if someone is feeling a bit of that, even if it's in a conversation. For you, how does one even notice that's what they're going through, if that makes sense?
Yeah, great question. I think first and foremost, I think money is a means to an end, and itself is often a lot of the things we talk about when it comes to money is not about money in itself. It's usually a byproduct of something, and so sometimes you may be feeling shame about, let's say, the career path that you're on, and you don't realize that it's linked to money, for example, and sometimes it's. I think for me, where I really notice it in other people is when we talk about the conversation of money. Money itself has been such a taboo topic for so long. And many people don't like to talk about money. And for that, I feel like a lot of that is because people feel very shameful about money as well. So you might meet someone and you might be having a very innocent or genuine, interesting conversation about money. And you can notice that that person is really disinterested, doesn't really want to engage in that conversation. They may engage in it because they feel as if they have to engage in a conversation and they can tell that it's a necessary conversation to have, but you can almost see that they're kind of willing to move on from the conversation or talk about something else. And I think for me, that really highlights that maybe that person is struggling with a level of financial guilt or shame.
Yeah, they're not trying to prolong that conversation as well.
Yeah.
And one might say, yeah, but the person might just not have an interest in money. But when we really look at it, everything that we're doing in terms of, as you said, that's not the end of the matter, but it plays a large part in what we do in every part of our lives as well.
Yeah.
So to not be interested in money is kind of counterproductive to the fact that we go work, we do this, we do that. So that's not an excuse.
Absolutely, Peter. I think, like you've just said, almost everything that we do is either funded. I often say when I'm mentoring or coaching people to try, maybe start using the term, kind of change the language of money. So sometimes don't even use the word money or don't use the word budget, So when we're talking about money, maybe use the term cost or price or funding or seed or capital. When you start changing the language of money, you might feel like actually money is extremely important because if you're everybody has an interest, right? And guess what? Most interests require you to fund those interests. And to fund those interests, you need to spend money. But if you use the term fund, you may feel a bit more comfortable about it. If you use the term capital to fund things that are exciting projects that you really want to get into, then you realize that actually money is that thing that is needed to fund the project. So if you're interested in a project, you should be interested in the thing that, funds the project, right? So I think intuitively, most people are actually interested in money, and people do things for money. But it's a bit tough when it comes to actually acknowledging that money is a very important part of our day-to-day lives, especially if we don't really have much or we feel as if we've made mistakes.
No, absolutely, man. All right, so I guess, we acknowledge that most of us have pretty much either, experienced financial shame, or even are experiencing financial shame as we speak, or some of our listeners are tuning in right now. I guess, what are some of the things we should be doing in terms of trying to deal with that, essentially?
I mean, first and foremost, myself, and Peter, yourself, we're not any qualified, psychologists or therapists or anything like that. But what we do have is some life experience and, some knowledge when it comes to money. And I think, one of the first things I would say, Peter, is, first acknowledge how you feel, and understand that you do feel a bit of shame, being honest with your feelings, and allow yourself to feel that feeling for a short period of time, but not to let it linger for too long. And I think one of the best things you can do first and foremost is also acknowledge that you are not the only one. You are not the only one that has made financial mistakes. It's extremely common. And sometimes when we're able to notice and acknowledge that we are not the only ones, it kind of takes that weight off our shoulders a bit. I think that's one of the things you can do. And going side by side with that, I think, is actually to speak to someone that you trust. There's a saying, what is it? A problem shared is a problem half solved. And that, is true in many circumstances. So I do believe that, if you can find someone, and the key word is find someone that you trust, someone who doesn't actually, judge and actually shame you for being in that position, but someone that you can trust, someone who understands you, who knows you, and someone who would actually help you through the journey, it can definitely be a starting point.
And I love that, in terms of, the first two that you just mentioned, acknowledging how you feel. There's something around, giving yourself some grace, the fact that you're here breathing, you've done something right. You've done something right. So not holding on to that as well. And just building on the point around speaking to someone you trust, I think building off on that, ensuring that you're around, people, decent people, because Jax, I'm sure we've all experienced people that literally attach value to, materialism, if that makes sense.
Oh,
And
absolutely.
they can literally treat you based on what you may or may not have. And you literally see it right there and then from the very first conversation. If those are your people that you're around, of course you're gonna have negative expectations on you, man.
Well, I mean that makes you feel even more shameful.
Of course.
So you have to be very, very, very careful with those people. I they're right out there. They are out there. In fact, there's a lot of them. So you have to be very mindful of who you consistently associate yourself with and who you give your time to. And of course, how you respond to those people
I
as
was
well,
just about to
because
say,
you can't completely change people, but some people will treat you according to your net worth, for example, or what you drive and what you wear, etc. It's also up to you as to how you respond to that and how you value yourself.
and also how ensuring that you're not actually one of those people that look up or down to people based on, what they don't or have, if that makes sense, because it'll just be a reverse, man. That's how you'd be looking at yourself as well. So
I would
man,
imagine,
you attract what is some point in some cases, you attract what is burning in you.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you've hit the nail on the head, because ultimately it really comes down to how you treat yourself and how you see yourself, right?
Come on.
And I think going a bit further from that is actually seeking out some sort of help from people who are in the space. It could be professionals, it could be mentors, coaches, etc. So I think it would be a great idea to get yourself an objective financial coach or mentor. And if you don't want to go that far, you can literally get yourself an accountability partner. So I think that is an amazing way to go, and you'd be surprised how valuable that can be.
One thing I like about mentors is, because with this is acknowledging what we feel, right? And we're giving ourselves grace. It's okay to feel this, but we're trying to deal with it. And I think with a mentor, they will let you know, listen, you've done well with what you're doing so far, but yeah, you can do better, and that's okay. It's not like it's not like the biggest deal if you're not where you want to be. That's okay. But listen, I'm gonna support you in getting where you want to go in a healthy manner.
And I think what's great about even financial coaches or mentors is the fact that a lot of people have actually gone through this, right? So they have lived experience of what you're going through, and it can be very, very objective. So I have a slight bias towards going for someone who you may not even know, or someone who's just a bit older, who can really be objective and take you through a journey.
Yeah, no, I definitely hear that. I definitely
Yeah.
hear that. Okay, cool. So we've covered a couple. Any more in terms of, I guess, yeah, dealing with this shame that sometimes visits us, man.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think it's great to go through some of the things I've mentioned, whether it's really understanding where you are, being graceful with yourself, practicing some self-compassion, and then starting to take the steps of, let's say, speaking to someone or getting yourself a financial coach. But I think that the next steps is to start moving in the right direction. So it's okay making mistakes, but we try not to, bury our head in the sand with those mistakes, but we try to learn from those mistakes, and we use them as learned experiences. And ideally, we want to move on without making the same mistake over and over again. I caveat that to say that you will still make mistakes on this financial journey. I still make mistakes. But it's about moving in the right direction and minimizing how many mistakes you make and how detrimental some of those mistakes are. And then, being confident that even as you make mistakes, you are going to continue to learn from them. And that comes with a level of self-trust. And I think, yeah, just starting to move in the right direction. It could be actually taking your finances very seriously, setting some short-term goals and having a budget. Or now I say things like spending plans, changing that language, setting some financial goals, hitting those goals, making sure those goals are smart goals so they're measurable and achievable. And I would say set the goals in small increments so that you can hit those goals. And then when you do hit those goals, I would definitely encourage people to celebrate those goals, because that's a way you can start building that confidence and actually building that trust in yourself as well to move forward.
I love that. And it, within those goals, you know, when we was talking about mentors, you can also have, you know, accountability partners as well. Your mentors who you celebrate with, man, like, 'cause they'll be holding you to account. Okay, what, you hit this goal, boom. Let's celebrate that, man. And Drax, in terms of learning from mistakes and you know, minimizing the number of mistakes that or reducing the number of mistakes that people make, there's the education piece, as you briefly touched on. So we always get new listeners on this podcast. If you are one of those new listeners who's perhaps just joining in this episode for the very first time, my encouragement would actually be, once you finish this, go to episode number one and literally just play all of the episodes over the next few weeks and months as well. We've got over 170 episodes out, and educate yourself, man. I'm pretty confident, hopefully you are, Jack, that after you do listen to all of these episodes, it will definitely contribute to you making less financial mistakes.
I absolutely agree. Yeah, absolutely. I'll be honest, sometimes I listen back to the Walk Finance episodes and I'm so
Absolutely.
proud with what we've been able to give out. The level of value and education we've been able to put out there is so world class. You've hit the nail on the head. One of the ways to really start to build that confidence, start to alleviate some of that shame, is to become more knowledgeable and to become more educated in the space of personal finance. And you can definitely do that, of course, by consuming content, amazing content like the Walk Finance podcast. But there are also other podcasts out there. There's other, I definitely encourage you to read books. We always say that a leader is always a reader. So definitely, definitely, definitely read books. You can even take some courses. But ultimately, what we're saying is you have to get more educated. And if you combine that with the coaching and the accountability, I'm very sure that we'll start to make the right moves in the right direction and start to really eliminate some of that financial shame.
Shout out to our episode on the power of reading, episode 35 and 36, where we give a shout out to all of our favorite books, man. So definitely check out that episode as well. But now, Jax, man, so true, man. Hopefully our listeners are tuning in and resonating, man. And yeah, resonating fairly well as well, and hopefully feeling somewhat encouraged. But Jax, for those listeners that can resonate right now, what else can they do to deal with this feeling, man?
Yeah, look, I think some of the things we've already spoken about is it goes even much further than just finance. I think shame just generally is something that many people struggle with, and some of the decisions that we've made in the past that cause us to feel this level of guilt or shame could be very much birthed in trauma, sometimes even childhood trauma or some sort of experience. I encourage people to take things like counseling and therapy seriously. You'd be surprised how many decisions that we make today that are based on experiences that we have, gone through, sometimes of traumatic experiences that we've gone through in our childhood or some period in our life. I definitely would say it not just for personal finance sake, but for just your general well-being. Really going through that self-awareness journey, really learning more about yourself and positioning yourself to be the best version of yourself. I would encourage people to really get some counseling and some therapy under their belt. Again, you'd be surprised how many financial decisions are actually to do with our experiences, our traumas, our fears, etc.
It's so crazy. It's actually crazy that is, man. There's so many ways that does affect us. And it's not just finances in general, right? But in terms of like finance, so for example, we've all met people where, we've experienced something in our childhood where we, seen our parents go through some sort of debt crisis, and we remember that feeling as we was a child seeing our parents stressed out. So when we experience as adulthood, the feeling that we mimic is basically equal to what we was feeling as a child. But if you was to talk to your peers in your adulthood, they'll tell you, it's not really that deep. We can get you out of this situation, but because you're remembering what it felt like as a child going through that trauma, you can't actually, it's very difficult to just get it, push it to one side. So it's so important for us to really be able to deal with that so we can understand how our relationship to money was birthed and how we've actually nurtured it over, adolescence to adulthood and stuff.
Oh, absolutely, Peter. Look, I mean, we've been on this journey for quite a long time now. And when I first started a personal finance journey, I was very much interested in the mechanical side. So I learned a lot. I've read a lot of books. I've taken courses, and I'm privileged to work in the industry of asset management. So I learned a lot on the job as well. But in more recent years, Peter, I think one thing I've really learned, and I knew this already, but it's become even more prevalent now, that all this personal finance stuff is like 95% or 90% behavior. A lot of the stuff that we teach, a lot of the stuff that we do, we all know we're supposed to do them, right? We all know we're supposed to earn more than what we spend, right? We all know that investing is good, right? Of course, you can learn what to invest in and how to invest, and those things are important. But actually, chances are someone who just exhibits the behavior of earning more than what they spend and just investing in a very simplified way, whether it's a global index fund, etc., that person is by far likely going to do better than someone who, knows so much about the stock market and thinks they're the next Warren Buffett, and buys like two stocks or three, four stocks in a concentrated portfolio because they want to get rich quick, right? Not knowing that a lot of that is because of the scarcity mindset or the mindset of I need to get rich quick because I've been poor all my life, That person might have read all the books and all the technical analysis and gone to all the courses, but the person who just exhibits their comfortable behavior of automating their investments, and doing it over a long period of time and having a healthy relationship with money is probably going to do better, right?
This,
So yeah, so I really now, even in my own personal finance journey, I really looked in the mirror and asked myself, why am I making some of these financial decisions? One of them in more recent times, I was asking myself, why do I work so hard? Why do I have a full-time job and I have side hustles and that kind of stuff? And I realized, even though I have been extremely intentional with trying to deal with my scarcity mindset coming from a low-income family, some of it still lingers.
Absolutely.
Some of it still lingers. And so, it's about being intentional about actually enjoying my money, being very intentional with enjoying my money, and being very intentional with having a healthy relationship with money and not being scared of, for example, of losing my job, etc. So some people, do silly stuff because or some people even stay in jobs because they're so scared of not making some sort of income. And sometimes that is birthed out of scarcity, you know. So very important for us to really do that kind of soul searching. And ideally, if you can get some therapy and counseling in, that would be great.
And it's deep work because we're talking about maintaining a healthy relationship with money, and that is a doing action, right? So it's not something that could just be done and left as that. It's something you're consistently trying to really understand and build on. To remain healthy, it takes doing something consistently, right? So no, that is so deep, and I think this whole area, it for me, it's definitely allowed me to have compassion on myself whenever I've made silly decisions, but also when I've seen others make, in my opinion, very unwise decisions. The more you get to know them, you understand, okay, that's probably why they are making those decisions when it comes to finances. And you mentioned that whole mindset of trying to get rich quick. That is not birthed in a home where, or it's not birthed in an environment where, you know, the parents built wealth over long term, if that makes sense. That's usually birthed from seeing lots of trauma, lots of negative decisions around, and you wanting to avoid falling into that same trap our parents or whoever fell into.
It's birthed out of fear. It's a lot of the time
Absolutely.
it's birthed out of fear. Some people think it's birthed out of just wanting to, you know, drive the nicest cars. A lot of the time it's actually birthed out of fear. In fact, most decisions are birthed out of completely being fearful. So it's very, very, very important for us to really understand that. And I love the fact that you talked about, you know, that self-compassion piece, because, you know, when I first started teaching and mentoring on personal finance, I was a bit more cutthroat. You know, because I'll be honest, I didn't understand why someone could be so irresponsible with money. So I came from the angle of tough love initially. And I think one of the things that have really helped me as a financial coach or mentor is that I look at my own life in other areas and where I struggle, and I say, well, why am I struggling? Even though I am usually a rational or logical person, or I think I am. And one of those things is, for example, like, you know, gaining weight, losing weight, not eating healthily. I know I'm supposed to, you know, be in a calorie deficit. I'm meant to eat my vegetables. I'm meant to exercise at least 4 times a week. And then you go through periods in life where you're not doing any of those things. And you ask yourself, why? You know, and then you start to really understand that everybody has their thing that they struggle with. And a lot of the time it's not the fact that people are just irresponsible or that kind of stuff, but a lot of the time there are underlying issues. You know, if someone overeats, there could be underlying issues behind why they overeat. It could be actually a poverty mindset, it could be a lack mindset. If someone does the opposite and actually doesn't eat anything, right? That could actually be a mental illness that's growing there. So there's a lot that needs to be uncovered. And definitely for me now, in this, you know, time of my life, I'm so much more compassionate when it comes to, you know, talking to people about money.
And you know what I'm getting from this conversation, Jax, is, you know, it's about recognizing we all have our own struggles, particularly even when it comes to personal finance. But it's not just about one, it's about actually acknowledging that and accepting that we have our struggles, and acknowledging what they are. But it's not just about saying, okay, yeah, I have these struggles and what. No, we it's about trying to do something about it in whatever capacity you can. And hopefully that's what this conversation is giving. That's what I'm getting anyway.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think the key word I always say is pace yourself.
That's it.
It's not gonna happen overnight.
It's a marathon, man.
You're gonna make more mistakes. So just be ready for that. But don't beat yourself up when you do make those mistakes. Get yourself back up and keep moving in the right direction.
Deep, man. For our listeners, man, I know you're definitely vibing with the convo, man. If there's any examples of or ways you've, you know, challenge struggled with financial shame, do reach out to us on our socials, man, and give us some examples, man, or just give us some feedback if this is resonating with you. And Jax, we're going to use this point now to just give a shout out to where we're getting listeners across the world. This place, I can't pronounce it properly. I am going to butcher it, so apologies in advance. You will understand why when I say it. But this place is called Saint, no, okay, Sainte Falleu de la Brugat. This is a place in Catalonia, Spain.
You butchered that. Oh my
I think it's
gosh.
Sainte Falleu de la Brugat.
Oh my goodness. First and foremost, I apologize for Peter. But he's trying, he's trying. It's easy for me to sit here and laugh at him when I'm not the one who's actually trying to pronounce the name. But welcome to the World Finance Podcast. You are here with myself, Jax, and the co-host Peter. On this podcast, we talk about all things finance and all things finance related. If you want to know more about what we do, because World Finance is more than a podcast, we serve in the community. Head over to www.wokefinance.co.uk. That's www.wokefinance.co.uk. And make sure you sign up to our mailing list so you're kept up to date with all the amazing things that we are doing. And if you want to engage with us on socials, we are mainly on Instagram. So if you search for Woke Finance Team, you are sure to find us. And we are also on LinkedIn. Again, if you search for Woke Finance, you will definitely find us. But I hope you are enjoying our episodes, and I hope you are gaining tons of value.
Come on, come on, come on. Massive shout out to our listeners over there in Spain and all over the world, man. Jazz, this has been really a good conversation, man. Anything else that comes to mind that you just that's on your heart right now?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say a lot of the time where financial shame is extremely evident is when people are struggling with debt. And I would say that debt is one of those things that is highly linked with having a bad mental health. And my advice is please, please, please do not bury your head in the sand. It is not all over. There are ways to completely come out of this. It is one of those things that if you do bury your head in the sand, it actually does get worse. So ideally, you don't want to do that. If you are struggling with uncontrollable debt, my encouragement is for you to speak to a charity. The two that I am aware of, and Peter, let me know if there's any others that you know, is Citizens Advice and also Step Change. Please get into contact with them and let them know of your situation as soon as possible, so that you can actually, take the step in the right direction, to get rid of some of this debt and get yourself into a financially healthy space. That's definitely something I wanted to get out there, because it is something that people really, really struggle with, and people keep it, to themselves until it becomes a situation where it's completely diabolical. We don't want that for you.
And just like with any other struggle that we face, a lot of these are not physical things. These are things that we can't see, so it plays up on our mind as well. But the number one thing that makes these things worse is keeping it secret and keeping it in the dark. It's about actually exposing it to the light, to people that can help, good people around you. And the burdens get released, and then you will be so surprised at the help that is out there. Obviously, here in the UK, there are lots of organizations out there, which Jax has mentioned. On episode 95, done an episode called Nothing Wrong with Asking for Help. We do give a list of organizations out there, like Turn to Us, for example, that help people who are struggling with things like a shortfall of income, etc. So yeah, man, that's so deep, man. Just expose all of that stuff to the light, man.
Absolutely, absolutely. Going back to what we first said at the beginning of the episode, a problem shared is a problem half solved. So definitely feel comfortable, get your place into a comfortable place where you can share it. And again, by contacting a charity, you're sharing with people that don't know you and are objective and are definitely compassionate. So definitely do that.
Deep, man. This has been a deep episode, man. And we did say at the beginning, man, it is going to be one of those episodes. So hopefully, it's been quite useful. And yeah, man, this might also be one of those episodes where, you might want to share with someone else that you feel they might be experiencing financial shame and you don't know how to speak to them about it. So yeah, man, send this as well as other episodes so it doesn't feel like it's a direct, an indirect or so. So send this episode to others, man. Share it with others, and keep the conversation going, man. But no, Jack's definitely been a pleasure catching up on this.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Come on, come on. Now, for our listeners, remember all,
Stay
stay woke.